The holiest week of the year has begun. Because this sacred liturgy is not merely a remembrance, but is the way God has given us to participate in his passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, we may be reading the gospel narrative using our imagination to transport us 2,000 years ago, but because of the nature of the sacred liturgy as a sacrament, we participate in a mystical way that transcends space and time. And so, as the church fathers remind us, when you heard my voice here recounting the words of Christ during the passion narrative, it is really Christ himself speaking to you and me in the context of the sacred liturgy. It is Christ himself. And because of the Eucharist, that saving mystery of Jesus, who suffered and was crucified on the cross 2,000 years ago, is made present to us in a very real way in his body and his blood. And so when we say, "Behold the Lamb of God," you know, we're not play acting, but we are mystically brought to Golgotha. We're brought to Calvary. And so this is why Holy Mass is so different from, say, a service at many, you know, Protestant megachurches, where folks are, you know, lounging around with their cup of coffee and with some groovy music going on. It may be more comfortable for a lot of us in such a homey environment, but you're also not in the very presence of the body and blood of Christ crucified in a Protestant service. Mother Mary, St. John, and St. Mary Magdalene were not lounging around having a cup of tea at the foot of the cross. They were kneeling and contemplating the great price of our salvation. As we went over in our homily series on the Mass, the sacred liturgy brings up, you know, an entirely different realm where heaven meets earth. In fact, among the 15 people that we will be initiating into the church this Easter Vigil is a former Protestant minister who found himself in want at his prior faith community. Here's what he shared with me about what happened when God led him here through a simple invitation by one of our parishioners. He said this: "I attended the 2016 Easter Vigil at St. John's and wept as Father Chaz said the words of Jesus during the Eucharistic liturgy. Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. I instantly fell in love with everything about the Mass and with Jesus even more deeply. So why does a graduate of a Methodist seminary and a former Protestant pastor become Catholic? Because it is true is certainly part of the answer. But for me, I decided to become Catholic because this is where Jesus Christ is. I don't know how it happens, but I know that when the priest lifts the Blessed Sacrament in the air, my eyes are gazing upon the full body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. I have found my home, and my home is where Jesus is." But his wife, however, didn't agree at first, all right? But I'm happy to say that she too is entering the church along with him, along with their daughter. So here's what she said to me, his wife. She shared, "The scales on my eyes were removed so I could see, even though I never knew how blind I was. I did not want anything to do with being Catholic. In fact, I often tried arguing my husband back to his senses. I mean, the Catholics are just strange people that pray to Mary and like relics. Then it happened, a miracle. My husband and I were arguing over the Eucharist. I said Catholics were the only pretending that they believed in the transfiguration of the bread and the wine into the body and blood. I told my husband, quote, it will take a miracle for me to believe that the wine and the bread are really the blood and body of Jesus Christ. But when one says it takes a miracle, God performs the miracle. I heard the voice of Jesus as I read my devotions that night. I read from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. I heard Jesus saying, "This is my body and my blood." As if he was saying it directly to me, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him." Life-changing. My life changed and my eyes were opened. The Eucharist I once questioned and almost denied, I now wholeheartedly long for now. That perfectly intimate relationship with Christ that only brings me closer to him is a strong longing of my heart. The love that is there in the Eucharist is calling me to better know him, and I can't wait. Unquote. Beautiful. So we look forward to welcoming the Georges into the church. Now, don't get me wrong, I like to be comfy when I'm studying the Bible. I like to be in a comfy seat and have coffee in hand. Good cup of joe. But guess what? Our Bible studies are on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. In this holy place, during the sacred liturgy, we're not just having coffee talk with Jesus. We are actively participating in the mysteries of salvation. We're hearing Jesus himself, right? And we're engaging in true worship of the living God, in which the only fitting response is reverence and awe at the God who loves us so. And so I say this at the beginning of Holy Week so that we might enter into the holiest of weeks with the proper disposition, right? If we're not properly disposed to the sacred mysteries, then we'll just be, you know, waiting for it to be over. You know, let me have my wafer and let me bolt right out of here right after communion. But if we recognize the sacred liturgy for what it is and who it is in our midst when we celebrate these sacred mysteries, then we can't help but marvel at God's saving work, his sanctifying work. This is why the Blessed Sacrament, you know, the saints can, you know, spend hours in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, because they realize before whose presence they are and still live to tell about it. We just heard the Passion narrative from the Gospel of Mark, and the Gospel of Mark may be the shortest of the four Gospels, but it happens to be the longest account of the Passion. So I'm going to have a bit of a shorter homily and invite you to take part in the rest of Holy Week. Come this Holy Thursday at 7 p.m. and sit at table with Jesus at the Mass of the Lord's Supper, where the God-man stoops to wash our feet and gives us his very body and blood, institutes the Eucharist. Spend some time in silent adoration as we turn our parish center into the Garden of Gethsemane and repose the Eucharist there until midnight. You know, pray with Jesus. Surrender your life to God the Father in a deeper way, as Jesus did, trusting in the Father's love even in the darkest hour. Not my will, but your will. You know, take whatever passion you might be going through and pray with him. And come the next day, Good Friday, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon for the celebration of the Lord's Passion. As Jesus takes up his cross, take up your cross and unite the very suffering and unavoidable struggles of your own life with his. And follow our Savior to this ironic path to new life and glory. After the 1 p.m. Good Friday service, we will pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet at St. Joseph Oratory at 3 p.m., which is the hour of mercy, when Jesus expired on the cross. I encourage you to take the necessary arrangements in your schedule to take part in these sacred mysteries. As we heard Jesus say to his sleepy disciples in the gospel today, the hour has come. Maybe we have been sleepy in our following of Jesus. May this Holy Week be our wake-up call of how much our world needs God and his salvation. You know, this March for Our Lives that happened in D.C. this past week is yet another manifestation of how hurt and disenchanted our young people are. Because the good news is silenced, our world is looking to band-aids as solutions to the world's problems. thinking that forcing people with laws is actually going to solve things. It may curb some of these blatantly outward manifestations of our sorry state, but what really needs transformation in the end is the human heart. And that can't be forced, right? So marred by this human heart that's so marred by mistreatment and loneliness and sin that goes along with looking in all the wrong places to numb the pain of what mistreatment and loneliness. And a lot of our society, including Jackson, is looking to drugs, right, to numb that pain. Jesus enters into all of that, not just 2,000 years ago, but here and now, and offers humanity his healing and his salvation. Will we seek so that we may find? Will we ask so that we may receive?